Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here and our visitors. We're glad that you're with us today as well. We're beginning a series here for the month of October entitled This Little Light of Mine. And, of course, right in the middle of this is our revival. And so let's let our light shine the best that we possibly can up until that point and during that time and afterwards as well. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the and we sang that song, at least part of it here this morning, and we're going to have a little treat here in just a second. But if you don't know, it, for the most part, it's based on a Bible passage out of Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, and we'd like to read that here before we get going this morning. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand and gives it light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So after I was listening to last Sunday's sermon and George sang, I thought, well, I'm not going to try to sing. He got a rousing round of applause for his singing there. But I'm going to do one better, and I'm going to have little kids sing. All right. So, Tanner, if you can get that up there for us right now, some of these might look familiar. All right, top that, George Shaver. All right. Anyway, so yeah, if you see some of those little ones around here this morning, thank them for sharing that with us. And we're gonna come back to that each sermon that we do, because there's different things in those different verses that we want to look at. And this morning, we're looking at the verse that they sang of hide it under a bushel. And so, what does that mean, and how does that actually apply to us? The first thing I want for us to share is we get looking into this passage in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, is we must remember that this is right towards the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke, and one of the perhaps the greatest message ever brought, and definitely by our Savior. He shares the Beatitudes there at the beginning, and then he starts saying that you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, and that's where we're gonna focus for a couple few weeks here, is that you are the light of the world. Jesus' teaching was revolutionary because it took the things that had already been said, but then now is applying that, making application to that. So many times we may have professors and educators, teachers, preachers, whatever it may be. They know what the text says. They know what the books say, but they have a hard time articulating that to make it applicable in people's lives. And this is what Jesus was doing here, so our first point on this morning is the idea of passing the torch, passing the torch. And when we see this, he says that you are the light of the world. Those are the ones he's talking to, are his followers. And so let's just talk about that for a moment. That is the instruments in which God chooses to make us, or to make use to illuminate the minds of men. For example, I think as he's sharing this sermon, as he's outside and they're on the side of a hill and it's in the middle of the day, I think he probably points to the sun, perhaps, and talks about how bright it shines. And as he uses this and he says that you are the light of the world, and he sees that the sun is used to enlighten the world, they also then know in their day, some 2,000 years ago, that the light of the world was a title given to the Pharisees, and those would be the most eminent rabbis, the most prolific teachers of their day, that they were referred to basically as the sun and would enlighten all those people around them in the spiritual things of life. And what the Pharisees didn't like about that was they enjoyed the prestige. They enjoyed the pomp and the circumstance. And Jesus was taking that away from them, and he's looking at the common folk, and he's looking at his disciples, and he says, you are the light of the world. Oh, what a smack in the face to the Pharisees, and at the same time, a great upliftment to the common man. As Christ takes this title and transfers it from these well-educated men and gives it over to his own disciples, who, by the doctrines that he taught them, were by the means used to diffuse the light of life throughout the universe. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Of course, we see in John, we see that it talks about John the Immerser, and then it goes on to talk about Jesus Christ. But what it is, there's one that's going to proclaim the light, then there's the one that is the light. We are not the light, but we are to proclaim that of the light. B.W. Johnson, New Testament, People's New Testament commentator, makes this statement. He says, the business of the church, and that's what that caught my eye. We oftentimes say, well, the church isn't a business. We have a business. Jesus said as he was in the temple, I must be about my Father's business. There's a thing that needs to happen. There's goals that we need to set. But anyway, B.W. Johnson says, the business of the church is not only to save, but to enlighten. And it's important for us to remember that Christ is that light, and his disciples then must be light as well. The responsibility of the leadership is to equip the church in what they need to know. If all we do is put you into the watery grave of baptism and arise to walk in a new life and then send you out with nothing else to help you, then we have failed. Jesus Christ hasn't failed, but we have failed. And too many times that happens. We put someone in, bring them out, they begin their walk with Christ, and then we're like, here, fend for yourself. For shame, for shame, for shame. It is our responsibility to give them what they need to know. Give them what they need to know so that they can grow in the proper way towards their Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us a little bit about this and how that should happen. Now, we know that as someone is immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and they come out of this watery grave of baptism, two things have happened, Scripture tells us there. Number one, you have received forgiveness of sins. Amen? Sins have been washed away. Number two, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is what helps to cultivate in our life the way that we grow and the way that we mature in our Christian walk. And I want to remind you, church, because this is something that I hear about on posts on Facebook, or I can see somebody say, or somebody talks and says something. I need you to all understand the Holy Spirit never works outside of the Word of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when people say, well, the Spirit spoke to me, then you better be able to show me book, chapter, and verse. Or when they say, well, God has said this to me, then they better be able to point and see where that's been shared to all mankind. Because Peter himself even tells us that it is not open up to private interpretation. That whatever it means to Quentin, it needs to mean to Brandon. Whatever it means to Brandon, it needs to mean to Josh. Especially on those non-negotiable things that we find in Scripture. And so as we look at this, he's passing on the torch. And so you know how the game of telephone goes, right? Not very well. That's why we do it. Because we prove the point that people mess it up. Because if it was just allowed for us to pass it on from here to here to here to here, the message is all going to get messed up. And that's why Jesus says, look to my word. Look to my word. For the word of God is living, it is active, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. We can't do that. God's word can. We may try. We'll fail. God's word can. And we'll be successful in it. But that is why we are to be that of the passing of the torch. Do you realize? And I think, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Do you realize that the Lord has put in our hands the success of the church today? I'm thinking, what are you thinking? Right? Why would you do that? He left it up to his disciples, and they passed it on, and now down through the Word of God, we've been given that same responsibility. But let the Word of God do the work. He's really made it quite simple for us. We don't have to come up with a plan. We don't have to come up with an idea. We don't have to come up with new ways of meeting the world today. All we have to do is preach unto them Jesus. In other words, let this little light shine. Now, I know what you're thinking. Dave, you look like you got a pretty big light. Maybe compared to most, right? And so as we look at this, we see, but our light. One thing I want for us to notice, did you notice? And I wanted to point it out, but I didn't want to stop the flow of them kids singing. Did you notice that they all had their lights up, but they were all shining in different ways? I mean, Jude was over there like it was the heaviest thing in the world to be able to carry that lamp. Right? Then you had Asher out there, and he's trying to knock everybody over that he possibly can, letting that light shine. And then you had Titus, you know, still letting his light shine, right? But we see all these kids, and they're letting their light shine. And so I can't tell you how to let your light shine. All I can do is tell you, let that light shine. Because the torch has been passed on to us. It is our responsibility as the church to share that with a world that needs it so desperately. So now, as we talk about this burning, this candle, this lamp actually, this lamp that's burning bright, that's our next thought, is we should burn bright. We should burn bright. But you know what? There's no doubt that there's at times, maybe it's been this past week, maybe it's been this past month, maybe it's been this past year, that boy, oh boy, you don't even feel like you've got a light to let go. But that's why he tells and he talks about this city on a hill. And they say that where he was at, that they were not only looking down on a city, but they were looking up at another city where this was taking place. And he knows that if you're there on that mountain and you look out at night, that you'd be able to see those lights burning in those houses. And they're not lit so that people do not see. They are lit to light people's paths. And that's exactly what it needs to do. We need to burn bright. And I'm here to let you know, church, the scripture tells us, we've seen it in the Old Testament, we've seen it in the New Testament, that there are certain times it's easier to let your light burn brighter than others. But I am here to let you know this. Don't let that thing go out. It may be just barely flickering, but let that thing shine. Let that thing shine. It may be a nice, big, bright flame and putting out all kinds of light. But what the Lord's wanting for us to understand here is that the Christian life is something very highly regarded. It is of the most sublime, to which we cannot arrive without pains, without struggle. Those that try to preach to you the health and wealth gospel, that when you become a Christian, all your financial problems will be met and your health will be restored, they're trying to sell you something. God doesn't work that way and Satan doesn't work that way. I guarantee you, the closer you get in your walk with the Lord, the harder things are going to become. We're getting ready in the next few weeks start a new series on Wednesday nights, and we've got about five or six new guys that have never taught adult classes before that are going to be. And the one thing I said I wish I would have told them when I handed them their packet to teach is to be careful, because Satan's going to be after you now. You're looking to take your Christian walk to the next level. Something's going to happen. He's going to try to discourage you. And guess what? It's not going to come by the outside world. Something's going to be said by another Christian. Something's going to be said to try to squelch your flame. Something's going to be said to try to tear you down and make it so that you don't burn bright. But protect that lamp and let it burn, baby. As we said, this light don't burn bright without pains at stake. While it may withdraw us from the earthly, it carries us nearer to heaven. Remember that. But unfortunately, what becomes hard in the situation then is that as we are lifted from the earthly desires and draw ourselves closer to heaven, we are singled out easier as a mark. And believe you me, the world, the church, and Satan will be after you to try to disappoint you, to dissolve your resolve for the Lord. It places us in view as a mark to this malice and the carnalness and the wickedness of the men of this world. So, for those of you that are looking to step out and do something you've never done for the Lord, there's your pep rally. Right? Oh man, that was great, Mr. Ashley. Way to go. Really make me feel good about doing that. No, just giving you a warning. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Be ready. Satan's ready to go to war with you. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We talked about this in the light of the life before, and that is the pathway that we need to follow We see this symbol of half good or mostly good with a little bit of bad, that yin and yang symbol, and then a lot of good with a little bit of bad and a lot of good, bad with a little bit of good. That is not the way Jesus Christ is. There is no darkness in him at all. He lights our path, he lights our way, and he wants to set the world on fire through us. Just as they had said in the book of Acts, that we see that those that have turned the world upside down have come here. Can they say the same thing about Harlan? Can they say the same thing about Graybill or Woodburn or Hicksville or Fort Wayne or wherever you might live? That the ones that have turned the world upside down are here as well? Or do they just look at you like you're a crazy nut? And so as we look at this, it is our responsibility to burn bright. Cast the shadows away. Walk in the light. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. It's an interesting passage. It reminds me a lot of in the Proverbs, where the Proverbs writer will just give a bunch of different sayings, and you're like, do they have anything in common? Are they all what's? And so in Luke 12, Jesus does the same thing, and right in the middle of this, he says something that ties in great with this: be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Right? Why is that? Because when things go bad at home and your power goes out, you go to the cupboard and you get a new bulb out and you replace the bulb. You flip the switch and hopefully it comes back on. Keep your lamps lit. When this happened, and this is what we're going to be looking at next week, is remember those 10 virgins that had their lamps to keep them trimmed and to keep them bright? That means to keep them fueled up, keep them ready to go. So many times we have the opportunity to let our light shine and we walk around in darkness. We turn that light off. We let the candle go down. We let the wick burn out, whatever it may be. And then all of a sudden when we come into a dark situation, we're scattering, running around, looking for the light, and we can't find it. That's because we're not just supposed to walk in the light once in a while, but walk in the light all the time. This tells us that we need to be prepared and that we need to be faithful. Be dressed in readiness. Right? When we become a Christian, we are clothed in Christ, and we live in a world where people are running around spiritually naked. Be dressed in readiness. Keep those lamps lit. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3 says, those who have insight will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of the heaven. Where do we gain our insight? Go back to Hebrews 4:12 through the Word of God. I'm not giving anything special that you guys don't have. You don't have anything special that I don't have. We've all been given God's Word. Let's study it. Let's apply it to our life. Let's grow through it. Let's equip one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's exhort one another. Let's rebuke one another where necessary. But we use that Word of God to draw ourselves closer to Him and to each other. Those that shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of the heaven, and those who lead the way to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. We're to shine like the stars of Jesus. Maybe you have the opportunity in the summer or fall to go camping. Get yourselves out in the middle where, you know, some woods or some opening where there's no city lights getting in the way. And you can see and be reminded how brightly God shines even in a world of darkness. It's our responsibility to lead many to righteousness, just as this passage says. In other words, to take them out of the world of darkness. That's so that we burn bright. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Which then brings us to our last point this morning of suppressing the sparkle. suppressing the sparkle. Too many times we let that happen in our life. And as I said, sometimes it's going to come from us or to us from directions we wouldn't expect. And that's what hurts. That's what confuses us. And that's what Satan's trying to do, is get us to doubt, is get us to look away, is to look for a false light somewhere else. He's trying to suppress the sparkle. But, you know, sometimes he not only tries to do it, but we try to do it ourselves. You know, it'd be foolishness. We sing this. They sing the song, hide it under a bushel or hide it under a basket. No. Now, what one of you, who of you, I mean, this is the height of foolishness, right? To take a basket, basket that's been woven by, you know, reeds or dry branches or whatever, and then light a flame and then put it over top of it, right? We say, well, it'd burn out. No, if it's airtight, it's not going to be airtight. It's going to eventually cause some problems, right? So why would we light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket? Why would we hide it? Why would we try to put the flame out? Well, maybe our friends at work, you know, they get tired of you being the Jesus freak, right? Maybe the family's just heard it enough. Maybe the friends are deciding, you know, I don't know if I want to hang out with this guy anymore since he became a Christian. You know, we don't have as much in common. Whatever it may be. So we try to play both sides. And we try to maybe make it so we don't burn so bright. But then we try to, at the time, we pull it off and we want to let the light shine, and then we don't understand why those around us won't become Christians. Well, because we're not setting a very good example. Remember, the Lord left the church in our hand as our responsibility. That's why we got to burn bright, not suppress the sparkle. Luke chapter 8 and verse 16 says, now one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Once you are set on fire by Jesus, it is our responsibility to let that light shine, and don't do anything stupid with it. That's what he's saying. Don't take it and put it under the bed. You're going to set the bed on fire. Right? We all know of people who have done that. Right? Don't put it under a bushel basket. You're going to set the basket on fire. Let it burn. Let it burn bright. Let it take away the darkness of the world. Says we're supposed to do it in such a way that those who come in may see the light. You know, when you go and talk to somebody at work, they're not like, oh man, are you kidding? You're a Christian? I had no idea. Right? It should be, you know, hey, I'd like for you to come to church with me. You know what? I thought there was something different about you. I thought there was something special. Oh, there was something a little quirky, right? We are told to be peculiar people, right? If we look like the world and act like the world, then chances are we're being part of the world. We are to look different, be different. We are to represent Christ and His light. That's what we saw from the beginning of the passing of the torch. Jesus proceeded here to show them that the very reason why they were enlightened was that others might also see the light and be benefited by it. Don't go putting your lamp out. When people light a lamp, they do not conceal the light, but they place it where it may be of use. And it's not just for my use. When I become a Christian, Scriptures tell me that I am to do my best to let my light shine so that others will see the light. By the way we do that is how we influence others. But we place that lamp where it can be of use. And so it is with our faith. What good is it to take our faith and put it in our knapsack or our lunchbox or our briefcase or our backpack and only pull it out when we need it? Let the world see our faith. It is given to us so that we can benefit others. Do you ever notice that, at least in the past, now some of them have changed names a little bit, but hospitals were always started by church organizations, right? You'd have, you know, such and such, Methodist hospital or this. They'd be set by religious groups. I've never seen a hospital started that advertises they're an atheist hospital. Have you? I haven't seen it. They all claim some sort of, what they're trying to do is let the people know that they are here to help others. Only those that are trying to reflect Christ are doing that. So how do we let our light shine? Does it benefit others? It's not to be concealed. But sometimes we might have to suffer to show the light in the way that it needs to be expressed. To shed our light, the light, His light, on the surrounding wicked world. Put away the darkness and come to the light. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to consider that as a walk, a life, walking in the light, not walking in the darkness, not walking through the fog, not walking through the things of life that are a distraction, but walk in the light. Walk in Jesus, for He is the light. The plan of salvation tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He's not just a good guy. Jesus was not just a good guy. He wasn't just a prophet. He was and is the Son of God. John chapter 14 says there is no way that we can get to heaven without going through Jesus. There's no way we can see God the Father without going through Jesus. We must clothe ourselves in Jesus. We must let Him be the light of our path. That's where it starts, our belief in Jesus. To repent of our sin. I can't repent of Matt's sin, and Matt can't repent of Robert's sin, and Robert can't repent of Mike's sin, and Mike can't repent of my sin. I have to be sorry for what I did. But I guarantee you this, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as we learned earlier, and it is up to each and every one of us to repent. There was a time of ignorance that God once winked at, but now He commands all men everywhere. That pretty much covers everybody. All men must repent. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. It says that there is an opportunity for us to let our light shine. Let the world know who Jesus is. By our confession in Him, not only as we are immersed into water do we believe that He's our Savior, but as you go to work tomorrow, let the world know that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. Be immersed into Jesus Christ. You're nothing more than a dead man being lowered into the tomb. You're not doing anything special. You're being lowered down a dead man, and you arise to walk to the newness of life. For the forgiveness of your sins, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be immersed into Jesus, not just physically here as an act of obedience, but as we arise to walk in that new life, we are immersed. Every thought, He has taken every thought captive. Everything that we think is about Jesus. Everything that we do is about Jesus. Every place that we go, it's about Jesus. You know why? Because it's all about Jesus. And be faithful. Let that light shine. Don't put it under a bushel, but let it shine. Come to Jesus. Follow Him. put man's ways behind us and simply follow Jesus and let him burn brightly in your life and in this dark world. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?